Okay, so that's that. That's the announcement. Now, I just, like it says here, just a few thoughts, right? This is, again, the time that we all share, so I'm going to start today by sharing something that I felt led to this morning when I woke up. I just woke up and I had this scripture in my head, and it wasn't even one that I feel like I've even read lately in the last week or even month or so. It was just there, and it was like really prodding me, and so I laid there and I kind of ran it through my mind, and this perspective took shape that was really cool. I mean, it kind of took me through these waves of peace and then kind of joy, and it really left me with this sense of excitement. I mean, just excited. And honestly, I don't even know if I can relate it. I probably can't, but I'm going to try, right, to just relate it in the... I can't relate it in the way that it flowed over me, but because, you know, when you're in your own thoughts, right, things just fire. But when you try to explain them, you have to slow it all down and try to parse it apart and put it back together, and it's not always that easy to do. But the scripture was Romans 8 and verse 1, but I'm going to read through verse 4. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. There's a lot the way that this passage gets kind of twisted around, but we're not going to talk about that. What I want to say here is notice how Paul uses the word law here. Remember that in the Greek, there is only one word for law, and that is nomos. And it covers so many things. It has such a broad scope. Not just law in the terms of, you know, okay, well, it's the law of God or the law of Moses or the Ten Commandments or what have you. Nomos is used for precepts, for describing constructs that are concrete truths. You know, it's a law, right? I mean, we might use it it's kind of in the vernacular that way. Well, you know, that's the law of, you know, I don't know. I can't think of anything right off the top of my head, but you know what I'm saying? It's a construct of a solid truth that's really just not to be toyed with, right? Or debated. And you can see that in verse 2 where he refers to law of the Spirit of the life in Christ. See, that's the law of the Spirit. Well, there is no law of the Spirit of... I mean, he's not referring to a body of law in, you know, some chapter and verse somewhere, right? It's a law about the concrete nature of the Spirit of life that comes from Christ. He's just expressing himself in that way. A truth so firm, so concrete, that it's a nomos. And so he's drawing this contrast between this wonderful concrete truth of the regenerative power of the work of Christ in a believer to the condemnation that is the penalty of breaking the law. That penalty, that death penalty, is also sure. It's also concrete. It's nomos when we're apart from Christ. It's just as sure. And he's saying that law can't save you. The law shows you where you deserve the condemnation. He's not saying the law is done away. He's saying that it can't save you. But Christ can, and he does. And so he says, therefore, there's now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. And it's not because he did away with the law, but because through the power of his Spirit, right? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ, that law can be kept. It can be overcome. That sin can be overcome. That there can be righteousness. We can have victory over it. Not just victory over the death penalty, that too. But he's expressing this joy that comes from the power of the Spirit of Christ. And so, with that, I said all that to say this. Okay? That's where I'm talking about. You have to build. But this truth that comes, that there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ, it just flooded through my spirit. What's it look like? What's that picture look like? That perspective that I got? Well, what it's not is some idea that you can just do what you please because you've got to get out of jail free card. No, the law is still in effect. God doesn't change. His values don't change. His purpose doesn't change. How he expects us to behave in his kingdom doesn't change. His character doesn't change. And it can't mean that we have no condemnation because all of a sudden we're perfect, right? We no longer miss the mark. See, that's what sin is. Sin is missing the mark of what God has laid out for us to do and be and behave. That's all sin is. We're just missing that mark. Right? Well, there can be no condemnation. It can't be that we have stopped missing the mark. So that can't be what it is either, because that's never happened to anybody. So what's it mean? What's it look like? Well, what happened is I got, you know, just this was all just happening, boom, 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 boom. And then I just got this picture of all these heroes in the Bible. It just kind of flooded in my mind, and just all at once I was just like, boom, 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 this one, and I kind of saw their lives, and I was like, wait a minute. Just think with me for a second. These are people that are going to be in the kingdom. For sure. Read Hebrews 11, the faith chapter. They're there. They'll be members of the kingdom of God. And yet these are people that had some very serious issues. Abraham, think about it, was willing to take a knife and plunge it through his son's heart. David had serious issues with lust, so much so that it drove him to murder another person. Moses, I read about this guy. I mean, he went into a rage and with hate in his heart and killed another man, killed an Egyptian. You know, he struck the rock in anger where God's presence was. He gets mad and he slams the tablets down and busts them all over the place. The dude had a serious anger problem. And you know what? By all accounts, we don't see that he ever resolved that. Now, I'm not going to belabor that. I mean, there are other examples. But the point is, these people weren't perfect. And I was like, okay, here's the heroes of the Bible, right? And they're not perfect. Now, I know you've all kind of thought about this before, but stay with me. Many of them paid very dearly for their transgressions. You know, so we don't get away with anything. But they were not condemned. They pressed on. They went on and they had other opportunities to walk in the faith, and they did so. And they did it regardless of their past failures. They pressed on, powered by the Spirit. Get that? They pressed on. powered by that Spirit, powered by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. And I'm not getting it there. I'm not doing it. I'm struggling to describe all the enveloping pieces of this to paint the perspective. But at that moment, I had this wonderful excitement that came over me. It was like joy that comes from anticipation or expectancy. And where'd that come from? I'll try to explain. See, when you wrap your mind around the fact that God is not condemning you with his law, but rather guiding you towards himself with it. That he's guiding you there. The law isn't binding you, it's guiding you towards him. David said it was a lamp unto his feet. And that just clicked, because without that condemnation, see, there is this earnest expectation of goodness, of opportunity to embrace it and be amazed at its power. Power that comes, as Paul put it, not from walking in the flesh, but from walking in the Spirit. And that's what he's talking about here. I kind of laid there and I began to get excited about what things might come up in my path that would give me the opportunity to choose according to the Spirit. And that would be this light that David is talking about. That Christ said, I'm the light. He's the Word. He spoke the law. He wrote the law. He's guiding us towards himself and the Father. He's the light. All of that is the light. And I thought about what opportunities will be coming where I could choose that path, choose that light, make that spiritual decision to do that would then illuminate, right, to those around me, that light and that path. When we walk according to this, we become that light. We are that light. We all have these opportunities, but you know, we miss them when we are not looking for them. Remember I said the other day, what do? You see what you're looking for, right? You see what you're looking for. And so if we're walking, that's what he's talking about here. If you're walking in the Spirit, you'll see those opportunities as spiritual opportunities, right? And not physical hindrances or bindings. Come on, are you with me? You can see anything one of two ways. You could see it if something is in your path and you're saying, okay, well, the law is against this, right? And you could say, oh, well, I can't do that. Or, I mean, you can see it that way. You can see it as a binding, or you can see it as an opportunity to light, right? To illuminate. One or the other. Let me give you an example. I'm working on the Sabbath series right now, so it's kind of on my mind. So I'll give you an example in that context because that's where I'm at right now. How about this? Something comes up, right, where you have this huge opportunity to make some extra, very much needed cash. You're in a bind. You got an opportunity to do that. But it's going to require pressing a few hours into the Sabbath. Now, many people you know are watching. You work with them, they're watching, they know what you do. And see, if you're walking according to the flesh, you're going to see that as a binding, as a burden, because you're worried about the things of the flesh. I need the money. You think about all the physical implications of that decision in that mindset. But you see, if you're walking according to the Spirit, then you know that it is God that provides for you. It is God that gives you everything. It is God that blesses the way that you walk. And so you decide to walk according to the Spirit. Let God provide for you, right? You see it as an opportunity to let the light shine on the Sabbath, right? And so you make a stand. And everyone around you, everyone you work with, now God has blessed with a wonderful witness, and He's done it through you, a hero of the Bible. See, that's what all those guys did. They provided examples to you and me of when they let their light shine. Right? You see, when you don't miss these opportunities, you become a biblical hero in the ongoing book of Acts. Guys, I'm submitting to you this morning, get excited about being a biblical hero, because you are. You have that same exact spirit. You are a David. You are an Abraham. You're a Noah. You're a Moses. And I don't say this lightly. I'm being dead serious here. You have the same exact spirit. They failed at times horribly. And I think that is as much a witness to us as the other. Guys, we got the same spirit. And we need to walk in that victory, in that perspective. Right? God is not condemning you. He's lifting you up. He's pushing you forward. He's saying, let your light shine. Glorify me. Here's the way. Walk you in it. And when you do, your light will shine and people will see it. It'll be written down in the ongoing book of Acts. Now remember, we got to grow in this. You know, you're not going to build an ark tomorrow, and you're not going to lead a whole nation out of captivity, you know, across the Kaw River, you know. But you can do the one little thing, and the next bigger thing, and the next bigger thing. What I'm talking about is walking with spiritual eyes, being excited about looking for every opportunity to make decisions according to the Spirit, and especially when it hurts in the flesh. Especially when it hurts in the flesh. Because that's where the light shines the most. See, in our example, maybe only one person saw the Sabbath supposed sacrifice that you made. Well, maybe nobody did. But you built the strength so that the next time, the next opportunity that God's in the process of teeing up, where the whole daggum company is going to see it, you'll have prepared and you'll have built the muscle to do it. I don't know. Am I getting my point across at all? I hope so. There is no condemnation to those that walk this way. And I'm saying to you, claim that. Let the hero that's inside of you come out. Let it come out and shine. Look for those opportunities. Be excited about anticipating when you can notice that, hey, There's a choice. I can walk according to the Spirit here, or I can walk according to the flesh. And praise God, I got the opportunity to go this way and let some light shine on this world.